Fun Fellowship. Sorry we're together on Facebook. I'm not sorry. It's one of those things that had to be done for the moment, and we're okay with that. But it's good to be with you here this morning on Facebook Live. I hope that several of you are jumping on right now and taking an opportunity to spend Sunday morning with us, even though that I'm here in the sanctuary and I'm basically alone. We got just a few people here taking care of our digital media, and then Andrea is going to sing for us here in a few minutes. And just so thankful for the opportunity that we have to be in the Lord's house this morning and to share the Word of God, even through Facebook. Just take a few minutes and let everything in the house get quiet. Grab your Bible, and I'll do my best to preach what God's laid upon my heart. Let's open up in a word of prayer this morning, and then Andrea's going to sing a couple of special songs for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for everything that you do for us. God, we thank you for this time that we have just to come into the house of the Lord, and for the ones who are not here in the sanctuary this morning and maybe joining us through Facebook Live, God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll be there in their homes with them, in their car, wherever they may be. God, I pray that they'll feel your sweet Holy Spirit, just as I pray that you'll be here, God. You said where two or three were gathered in your name, that you would be in the midst. God, we pray, dear Father, that your power will be felt, even though in this strange time that we're in right now, God. I pray, dear Father, for the families who are experiencing some health issues, God. I pray that you'll be with them. I pray that you'll provide strength. God, we want to thank you for moving in a couple of the situations already. We ask you to continue to give strength and healing, if it be thy will. God, I pray for our families in our church, God. I pray, dear Father, in these times that we're living in, I believe that that Satan is attacking our families, that Satan is attacking our churches, God. And I pray, dear Father, that you'll just help us, God, to lean on you and trust in you and let you lead, God, and direct our lives. God, I do pray for our nation. God, I pray that you will put a healing on our nation, God. And I pray, dear Father, that we as a nation will look towards you. God, bless everything that's done here today, God. And I pray for Andrea as she sings, God. Bless her. And God, I pray that your spirit will be filled in this place. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come desperate to be rescued, I come empty to be just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom bought, and now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come dead He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
Thank you for the singing this morning, Andrea. Both songs were just beautiful, and especially that last song. Now, the first song is one of my favorites. Just As I Am is one of my favorites. As I look at that song and see the words to it, it really touches my heart. But in kind of the day and the time that we're living in, and with all the things going on around us, as we think about it, I'm glad to know that he knows my name. I'm glad to know that even though I don't have all of the answers to the questions of life, that I know in whom I have believed, and I know that he knows my name. He knows where I am. He knows where I'm going to be. He knows everything that's going on in our lives right now. And again, we just need to lean on him, trust in him, and allow him control of our life. And he'll direct our paths, and we'll find ourselves in the midst of God's will, and we'll find ourselves in a place that we can be content. As the writer in the Bible said, he said he'd found a place to be content, whether he be above or whether he be below, whether he be raised up or whether he be trodden down. In both places, we can learn to be content as long as we know that we are in the will of God. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with Acts chapter number 4 this morning. We'll be taking the message from Acts chapter number 4. I do ask for you to be praying for me as we get into the Word of God this morning. It is much different when I'm here and preaching to just a very, very few people in comparison. Y'all know that I love my church family. I love seeing your faces, whether it be smiling or frowning. Either way, I love to see your face here in the sanctuary with me, and I love the interaction that we get to have. I love the fellowship, even though it may be from a socially distanced perspective or whatever. I enjoy being in the house of the Lord with my church family, and this morning we're not able to do that, and we're just trying to be very cautious right this moment. Good Lord willing, we'll be back in the sanctuary next Sunday morning. We will have virtual service only on Wednesday night. I'll go ahead and put that out there. So Wednesday night will be virtual only also. But good Lord willing, we'll be back next Sunday morning and still taking the precautions that we've been taking. We do know that this COVID that we're dealing with, I don't even know how to talk about it because I don't understand it and I don't know how it affects and all the different things, and it affects so many different people so many different ways. But the last thing that I want to do is see some of my church family have to suffer for something like this, and to think that that maybe we can have a part in and maybe taking some extra precaution here at church and being sure that we're as safe as we possibly can be. That's our absolute best that we can do right now, and that's what we're trying to do. But at the same time, I do believe that it's very important for us to be in the house of the Lord, and I believe that it's important for us to be here together. So y'all pray as we go through the coming days that we'll always know the right decisions to make. I know that I've made lots of wrong decisions in my life, and we'll continue to make wrong decisions, but I will do this. I will be in touch with the deacons here at the church and help getting them to help me to make these decisions, and most of all, we will be seeking for God's will for our church. So please be in prayer for us as we go through the coming days. Acts chapter number 4. Let's go again to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you again for this time that we have to be in your house, for the time that we have to open your word and allow your word to speak to us. And God, I pray, dear Father, as we are here this morning, that you allow your word to speak to our hearts. God, you promise that your word will not return void. God, I know that I'm not a great preacher. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not any of those things, but I know that your word is powerful, God. And I pray that you'll take your word and allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, God. God, I pray, dear Father, dear Lord, that me and my mistakes and me and my stuttering and me and my everything that I fail at, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will cover that up with his power. And God, that your word will speak to our lives. God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. I pray, Father, for the ones listening, if we have needs in our hearts and our lives, that those needs will be met. Most of all, if this message comes across someone at some time and they're lost, God, I pray that you'll touch their heart. I pray that you'll convict them of their sins. God, I pray, dear Father, that they'll see their need for a Savior before it's everlasting too late, and they'll confess you as their Savior. God, we thank you and we praise you for everything that you do. Thank you most of all for saving old sinners like us. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Acts chapter number 4, let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people," "the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." Let's stop for just 1 second here in verse number 1. We're going to try to go through verse number 17, and I'll do my best not to stop at every verse, and I'll do my best just to preach what God's laid upon my heart and not hold you too long. But in verse number 1, as we come to chapter number 4 and verse number 1, and the Bible says, "And as they..." And so in order for us to get the point of the message today, we have to understand who they are. And we know if you go back one chapter into Acts chapter number 3 that you'll find Peter and John as they were going into the temple to pray. And the Bible tells us as they were going into the temple to pray that there was a man who was brought there to the beautiful gate. If you go back and you read Acts chapter number 3, and you'll find that that gate's name was Beautiful. And as they brought that man who was lame from his mother's womb there, and he came there every time in order to beg alms. And we know that as Peter and John was going into the temple to pray that day, and as they walked by the man that was laying there and he was begging alms, that they stopped there and they said, "Look on us." And as the man looked at us, looked at them, and Peter and John looked at him and said, "Look," he said, "we don't have any silver and gold, but such as we have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And the Bible tells us that that man received strength in his legs and he was able to stand up. And the next time that you find him, he is in the temple walking, leaping, and praising God. And as the people began to see the miracle that had happened there, that Peter and John was able to bring in the name of Jesus, as the man got up and he began to run and leap and to praise God, and everyone knew that it was the man that laid there at the beautiful gate, everyone knew that there had been a change in his life, and they began to open their minds and their hearts unto the words that Peter and John began to speak to them. And we know that several of them come to know Jesus Christ because of the power that was experienced there that day at the beautiful gate. Well, not everyone was happy about that. In Acts chapter number 4, verse number 1, that's where we pick up, is here is Peter and John. The Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." So here comes the religious leaders. Here comes the powers that be to come and find out what Peter and John are doing. No doubt the word of the man being healed, the word of the man walking and leaping and praising God spread throughout the community very quickly. That it didn't take long for the word to get back to the powers that be. That, hey, you remember that guy that always laid there and begged alms. You remember how we've seen him there so many times. Well, today, when these two men walked by and they reached out to him, that he began to run and to walk and to leap. So here they come to Peter and John, and they're curious about what had happened. They're curious about what has taken place, but they also have some other agendas in place as they come to Peter and John. So as they come, and it says, "As they spake unto the people and the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved." These men were troubled that something had happened, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. These religious leaders, these important people, the powers that be, they were very troubled that Peter and John were teaching the people and that they were preaching through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. In verse number 3, "And they laid hands on them." And this wasn't the kind of laying hands on them that they wanted to pray for them and help them. This was the kind of laying hands on you that we're going to take control of you, and we're going to be sure that you don't continue doing the preaching and the teaching as you were. "And they laid hands on them, and they put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. As Peter and John gave the word, as they preached salvation through Jesus Christ, as they preached resurrection from the dead through Jesus Christ, as they began to reflect on the miracle that happened there at the beautiful gate, and they began to preach and to teach upon unto the people, that the Bible tells us that there were men that believed and that they come to know Jesus Christ, and it says the number of the men was about 5,000. Now, you know, there's that number that we see so many other times in the Bible, and maybe a couple other times that I think of is you see the 5,000 that were fed with the fish and the loaves of bread, and you see the 5,000 that were fed on another example in God's word. But I want you to know that those 5,000 that were fed with the fish and the loaves, that was amazing. The 5,000 that were fed on another day with the fish and the loaves, that was amazing. But I want you to know more than that. These people that come to know Jesus Christ, the number of them was about 5,000. The most awesome thing that can happen is for someone to come to know Jesus Christ, for the eternity to be changed, for them to experience a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And we find as Peter and John are preaching to them, it says that many believed. Verse number 4, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Church, I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge myself as we go out, that we preach the word, that we teach the word, that we give the word. Well, preacher, I'm not a preacher. How can I go out and preach the word? I want to tell you that God has challenged us all and instructed us all that as we go through this world, that we all carry the gospel, that we all let our lives reflect the gospel, but that we also are able to give the word of God to people who need to hear the word of God. Verse number 5, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem." So the next day, they get another bunch of important people. They get another bunch of religious people, of religious rulers and powers that be, if you will. They all come together here at Jerusalem the next day in verse number 7. "And when they had set them," Peter and John, "in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?" Now, I believe that as these rulers come together, that they really come with an agenda to make sure that Peter and John didn't want to talk about Jesus Christ. I believe that they had an agenda, that they really didn't want to know the answer, but they thought if we bring all of these important people together and we put these men in front of us, that we can get them to back down, that we can get them to change their story, that we can get them to say, "Well, we really don't know how it happened or what happened, but we were just there, and the guy received strength. 19th, and he got up and was able to walk and to leap. And I think they really wanted them to change their story to fit the agenda of the rulers. Verse number 7, it says, "And when they set them in the midst and asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" I want you to notice what happened to old Peter. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them," I want you to know that we all need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I know that when I got saved, I received all of the Holy Ghost that I'm ever going to receive. It's not different levels of the Holy Ghost that can come inside of me, but there are different levels that I can yield my life unto the Holy Ghost, that there are different levels in my life that I can let Him have control of my life, and I can let Him work in my life and let Him lead in my life. And we find that Peter says here, or in verse number 8, the Bible says that Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole." He says, look, if you're going to judge us, if you're going to question us on this, then I think I'm just going to tell you the truth, is what he's going to come out and say here in verse number 10. But verse number 9, "If we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." So I want you to know that not only was Peter and John sitting there, but they had the man. They had the man that laid there at the beautiful gate, that God had worked a miracle in his life. He's sitting there in the midst of those rulers with him to say, look, if you want to judge us, if you want to examine us, if you want to know how this man was made to walk, if you want to know how he was healed, Peter said, being filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, if you really want to know, I want you to know that it was through and by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this work was done, that this man was able to walk. I'm sure that the rulers there didn't want to hear that. I'm sure that they didn't want to know that. They didn't want that to come out, because as Peter said here in verse number 10, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. I like the way that Peter snuck that in there. He said, I want you to know something, that it was through and by Jesus Christ that this man was made whole. It was through and by Jesus Christ that he's able to walk and to leap and to praise God. And I want you to remember that you were the ones that crucified him. I want you to know that you were the ones that thought you should put him to death, that thought he was in the wrong. But I also want you to know how, like how Peter snuck it in here, that you thought you killed him, that you thought you put him away, but it's by his name that this man was healed. And I want you to also remember that tomb is empty, that he is alive. I want you to remember that he was raised from the dead. As Peter is standing here talking to these men that basically wanted him to change his story, give no credit to Jesus, I'm glad that Peter had the strength, and I'm glad that he had the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. It says, I remember that you killed him, but I want you to remember that that tomb is empty and that he's alive. That name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, the name that every knee will bow to and every tongue shall confess. Peter was standing there filled with the Holy Ghost, and I believe that he gave it to him just like that. He said, I believe he may give him. I know he did. Here in just a few minutes, he's going to say, and there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm glad that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost and he laid it down to him just like it should be. He gave it to him. Man, we're going to need strength in the coming days, in the coming years of our life. If the Lord allows the world to keep on going, if the Lord allows us to, if he don't call the church out of here, we're going to need strength. We're going to need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because people are not going to hear about God anymore. People are not going to hear about the power of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know something this morning, that everything can come against us, that the rulers can come against us, that anything in this world, all of the power that can come against us, that Satan himself can come against us. But church, I want to remind you that it's through the name of Jesus Christ, and it is through the fact that that grave is still empty, that that tomb is still empty, that we have the power to be the sons of God. Verse number 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I'm glad that Peter didn't say, well, me and John, we was on our way and we done this. I'm glad he didn't swell up with pride and take claim. I'm glad he didn't swell up with pride and say that it was he or John, but he said, I want you to know that it is by the name of Jesus Christ that this man is whole. Verse number 11, this is the stone talking again about Jesus. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither, listen to this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter was giving it to them straight and letting them know exactly about the name of Jesus. And there is such power in the name of Jesus. Verse number 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. As that man is standing there, I mean the man that was laying at the beautiful gate. The man that was over there begging alms just a couple of days before. And here he's standing. I like the way that the Bible, look what it says. And beholding the man which was healed, listen, standing with them. You notice he wasn't laying down on the floor. He wasn't sitting. I believe that it had been long enough that he didn't have strength to stand, that he probably stood all the time. The Bible says that he was standing with them, and because they could see the evidence, because they could see that in his life, there was nothing that they could say against it. You know what, Christian people? That's the reason that I believe that it is so important for our lives to possess fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. I believe that it is so important that we let our walk outside of the church walls match our talk inside the sanctuary. I believe it is so important that what the Bible calls sin, that we stand on that and that we have a little backbone to us. I'm not saying that we go against and make people feel that they're unworthy or that they're so low because they have sin in their life, because if we're all honest with ourselves, we all still sin every single day. But what I'm saying is we don't need to compromise the Word of God. What I'm saying is we need to allow our lives to show forth, because I want you to know, as we see here in verse number 14, because the man had the fruit, because he was able to stand there, there was nothing that they could say against it. If he had been back laying in the floor, they might have said, well, it didn't last. It was just a temporary burst of energy. It was just something temporary that happened in his life. It was some emotions that bubbled up on the inside of him. But I want you to know, because he was standing there in the midst, as the rulers look at him, they say, there's nothing that we can say against this. There's no way that we can prove this wrong, because here he is standing, and I want my life, and I want you to want your life as we go out into a lost and a dying world. I want them to know that what we have is real, that it's not something that's emotional, that it's not just some temporary thing to happen in our life, that it's not just something that we sought out because we was in trouble. Even though we were in trouble, we were lost and on our way to a devil's hell, and then God spoke to our hearts and we found salvation through Jesus Christ. But I want people to know that it's something that's real in my life. I want to live a life that bears that fruit where they can say nothing against it. Verse number 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. They went to a secret meeting. They said, look, we can't say nothing about this, so we're going to go to a secret meeting. I'm about tired of secret meetings in every aspect of everything, and we'll leave that right there. But I'm about sick and tired of secret meetings. But here in verse number 15, the rulers, because they couldn't say nothing with the man standing there, because they couldn't say nothing against what Peter and John, they said, let us go in here and have a secret meeting for just a minute, saying, what shall we do to these men? They went in there and they wanted to know what they should do to Peter and John, and maybe what they should even do to the lame man that was no longer lame. Maybe they was trying to figure out, what in the world can we do to these guys here in this secret meeting? I want you to know that all the secret meetings can be held that they want to hold. All the secret meetings can be taking place, and they can go in there and they can talk about absolutely anything they want to talk about. But no one can ever change the fact that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No one can ever change the fact, and once again, that he raised out of the grave, and no one will ever change the fact that one day he's coming back for us, and he is going to take us home that he's prepared for us. Verse number 16, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. They said there's no way we can say anything against that. There's no way, because everybody can see. That's the way that I want the power of God to fall on this place, church. I want Fellowship Baptist Church to be a place that the power of God is so real that no one can deny that God is here and that God is moving. Verse number 17, but that it is spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. We're going to stop reading right there. That's definitely not the end of the story, and I'd encourage you to go and read some more in Acts chapter number 4 and see how Peter and John handled the instruction that they got. I want you to go and read and see exactly what they did when they told them, "Go, we're going to threaten them." Well, I want to tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible tells us to fear not what man can do to us. That we don't have to be worried about any kind of threat that comes to us here on this earth. That we have a God that is going to take care of us. And even if it's in eternity, and all for all eternity, that God is going to take care of us. But I want to get to the message this morning. I hadn't quite got there yet. I want to get to the message that we wanted to preach this morning. The thought that's been on my mind. If you will, go back with me to verse number 13. Verse number 13, as Peter and John is standing there, and as Peter has unloaded on them, being filled with the Holy Ghost, I want you to look what happens in verse number 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, when they saw that Peter and John wasn't scared, when they saw that Peter and John was going to go ahead and stand there and brag on the name of Jesus, even though they knew that that's not what they wanted to hear, even though they knew that it could bring consequences in their life, that Peter and John was still bold about the name of Jesus. And in verse number 13, it says, now when they, the religious leaders, and the people that are kind of judging them for it, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Real quickly, I want to talk to you for just a couple of minutes on verse number 13. First of all, I want you to know I went and looked up, because I'm one of those unlearned and ignorant men. So I went and looked up a couple of words here in this scripture. First of all, I want you to look with me at the word perceived. The Bible says that they perceived these men to be ignorant and unlearned because they were bold and still stood there bragging on the name of Jesus. Perceived means to interpret or to look on someone or something in a particular way. But then later in the verse it says that they first perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned. And then later in the verse it says, but they took knowledge of them and they had been with Jesus. And that took knowledge is they knew. They realized or might have even remembered seeing them with Jesus. They perceived them to be ignorant and unlearned, but they knew they had been with Jesus. I want you to know as Christian people that we need to get to the place to where people's perspective or perception of us doesn't matter whatsoever. It doesn't matter what they think about us. As they look at these men and they perceive them or they think that they're ignorant and unlearned men because they're so bold about the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? We need to get to the place to where what people think about us, the perception that they have of us, is not what's important to us. I know we all want to be liked. We all want to have friends. We all want to have a social circle, if you will. We don't want to be the one that's standing out there all by yourself. We don't want to be the one that everybody else has nothing to do with because of the way they perceive us. And we all have a desire on the inside of us to be accepted by other people. But I want you to know that when it comes to the name of Jesus, that we don't need to care what other people perceive about us. We don't need to care about what other people think about us. It doesn't matter if they do think that we're ignorant and unlearned, because we're still following this good old Bible. Because we're still following the Word of God. Because that we still believe the Word of God and believe that every word of it is true. I don't care if they think that I'm ignorant and unlearned, because I still want to follow God's Word. I don't care if they think that I'm lame, that I don't know how to have fun, that I don't know how to be part of the crowd. I don't care if they think that I live a sheltered life and that I'm always just out there kind of by myself. I don't care if they think that I'm not a social bug. I don't care if they think that, well, he just doesn't want to be with anybody because I have to lay limitations in my life. I don't care if they think I'm a Bible thumper or old-fashioned or anything else. Here's what I want you to know. I don't care really what they think. And I when I say I don't care, we all have that on the inside of us. But I want God to help me to not care what they perceive about me. I want God to help me to not care what they think about me. I want God to help me not to wonder and think about other people's thoughts about me and my relationship with God. But I want you to know that I do want them to know this, that no matter what they think, no matter what they perceive, no matter what they think my life is. I want them to be able to take knowledge that I've been with Jesus Christ. As these men were looking at Peter and John, and they seen the boldness, and they said, we think that you're ignorant and unlearned, but more than that, we know that they've been with Jesus. I want other people to know that I've been with Jesus, that He is the best thing that's ever happened to me, that He is my Lord and He is my Savior. I want Him to have full control of my life, and I want my life to reflect that as I go out here into a lost world, as I go out here and I bump into my friends and my family that don't know Jesus Christ. Hey, they can think, well, he's just an old lame person. He don't know anything. He don't know how to have fun in this world. He don't know how to go out here and be part of something. I don't care if they think about me like that, as long as they know that the purpose of that is because I know who Jesus Christ is. I want Jesus to shine in my life. I want others to know that I've been with Jesus. Well, preacher, how do you do that? Listen, there's some things that we can do to let others know that we've been with Jesus. You can stick your Bible up under your arm. You can wear a suit and tie or dress or whatever, everywhere you go. And I mean, you can just be real bold about who you are in Christ. And you know, I think there's times that that is effective in our lives. I think there's times that we should do that in our lives. And then the other thing that you can do, because we all live in this world and we all have jobs and we all have different things that we do in this world, we all have to live from day to day. The other thing that we can do is fully surrender our lives unto Jesus Christ. I'm not there. I'm not to the place that I could say I'm absolutely 100% fully surrendered. There's moments in my life when I am. There's moments when I just say, okay, God, I want your will for my life no matter what. You know what? Most of those times is when I'm in trouble, is when I really find myself totally surrendering. But when everything is going good in my life, I try to take back pieces. And I try to say, you know what, God, I can handle this. God, I can handle that. And God, I know that I should trust you with this, but let me take care of this. But if I get to the place that I will fully surrender my life unto God, and I'll give God full control of my life, I want you to know that no matter what this world thinks about me, they will know that I've been with Jesus. They will know that there's something different. And just as we found Peter and John being able to preach, first of all, to the people, and 5,000, the Bible says 5,000 men believing because of the word of God, we will see things happen around us. We will see people curious about what's different about you. We'll see people that's curious about knowing that you've been with Jesus. And you never know, you might get that opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ and their whole eternity changing just like that. God help us as we go through the coming days. And when I say that, I don't know what the future holds. It's not up for me to know. I got to live my life one day at a time. But Lord, help me when I leave here this afternoon that I'm totally surrendered. God, help me to live a life that lets other people know that I've been with Jesus. Give me the boldness that Peter and John had. They were so bold that these men said they must be ignorant and unlearned because they're so bold. But at the same time, they knew they had been with Jesus. Thank God for His word this morning. I ask you, if you've been here with us this morning, that you just take God's word for a few minutes today. Continue reading in Acts chapter number 4 and see what Peter and John's response was. When they told them, you better not. We're going to threaten you and you better not. I want you to see what Peter and John's response was to that. Go and study that a little bit. It'll help you. As we go out into the world tomorrow and we go back to work or you go back to doing school or whatever it is that you do each and every day, let us live a life that lets other people know that we've been with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do for us. God, thank you for your word. God, I know how your word spoke to my heart. God, I know how you convicted me, God. God, I pray that you'll help me to live a life that lets others know that I've been with Jesus. No, they may not have physically seen me walking with Jesus as they did Peter and John, but God, my life can bring forth fruit. My life can bring forth different things that lets others know that I am yours. And God, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for knowing that I am yours. God, I pray for every need that may be in our lives right now, whether they be physical or spiritual, whatever it is, God, you know each and every one, and I pray that you'll help us
to give those needs to you, to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. I hope that God's word was a blessing to you. Good Lord willing, nothing bad don't happen. We'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Until then, let your life reflect that you've been with Jesus.